Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much for joining us today on another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's always our delight, joy, and pleasure to have you jump on board with us. The telephone number for your call-in, dialogue, and discussion, 831-0917, 831-0917. Lest I forget to remind you of that. That telephone number is 831-0917. We'd love to have your input, your dialogue, and discussion. We're going to be talking about the big picture, kind of looking at bits and pieces of the big picture of what's taking place in America today. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the introduction and the monologue and the dialogue and discussion, let me suggest that we pray for those out in the Bay Area, those out in the panhandles of Florida and over in Alabama, Louisiana. Let's pray for their safety and protection. A good friend of ours there in Pensacola, in fact, we have two or three in Pensacola that we know well and love in the Lord. They are in harm's way. One of them is one of our Florida senator or congressman in the 1st District. He said this morning they still have water, fortunately not into the home, but much water, debris all over the property, and the power is still out. Several hundred thousand still without power out there. So pray for them, for God's protection and provision and meeting the need during these days before them. But ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the issues that we're faced with today, there's so many tentacles of the big picture. It's hard to bring it all together into a succinct umbrella that we can understand it and fathom it. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we're with this thing that we're faced with, the Wuhan China virus has been the trigger that's unleashed multiple elements in America that perhaps a year ago or 2 years ago you would have never thought possible. Could we have ever envisioned riots, thugs, the Black Lives Matter anarchist, Maoist, Marxist in the streets, burning, pillaging, rioting, robbing, murdering? Would you have ever dreamed that would be possible in America and would be allowed to continue? Would you have ever thought that possible? Could we have ever dreamed it possible that all of the businesses would have been shut down by fiat, by orders, by directions of the federal government? Would you have ever believed that it would be possible in America that our churches would have been forced to close against the Constitution? Would you have ever believed that's possible? Could we have ever believed that there would be a mindset in America that there is a differentiation in skin color and therefore there ought to be priorities? Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo claim that white people are poor because they haven't taken advantage of their white privilege. In fact, the white privilege, according to Antifa and the Black Lives Matter rioters, are simply part of the solution rather than being a problem. We find, ladies and gentlemen, that Kamala Harris has said the Black Lives Matter riots, they're not going to let up as they should not. Kamala Harris, vice presidential candidate, saying that the mayhem and the murder, the pillaging, the burning, the rioting should continue, and it ought not to let up. Ladies and gentlemen, who would have ever dreamed that in America we would have the problems that we're faced with today and the difficulties in fate that's facing us today in relationship to the upcoming election on November the 3rd. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the big picture, the bits and the pieces, those things that are seemingly separate, but yet they are unified in the purpose, the undermining of American Constitutional Republic. And that is a demonic thing, ladies and gentlemen. We can look at it from the human perspective and point to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and others. We can look at it from the human perspective and talk about what is happening with Don Lemon and others in the elitist sodomite camp and what they're saying and doing. We can look at what LGBTQ agenda and the Planned Parenthood agenda say and blame it on them. And they are responsible, no question about it. But it is ultimately a demonic, satanic battle. It is a battle between God and Satan. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between Jesus Christ and we as Christians. That's where the battle is, and we need to understand that. That's the big picture. But we're going to look at the bits and the pieces of that big picture on this broadcast today. I urge you, I encourage you, join in the dialogue and discussion. We'd love to hear from you. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of my thinking or thoughts. It's not a matter of my trying to conjure up some problem, a difficulty, or some boogie bear that's out there. It is a matter of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Contrary to one that showed his sheer ignorance and absolute foolishness, in fact, the Bible talks about the difference between one that is a fool and one that is wise throughout the Scripture. And one of those that are not that is not wise, one that is could be biblically considered a fool, said to me in his anxiousness and his denigrative statements about this broadcast, he claimed that there's no such thing as a communist, there's no such thing as the LGBTQ agenda, there's no such thing, and he goes on and on and on about what I'm saying and his disclaimer for it and his denial of it. When I present to you a broadcast, I have, for example, before me at this moment on my credenza, before my microphone, I have probably 50 articles on the subjects we're going to talk about and beyond. So it's not a matter of my philosophy, my feeling. It's not an ideological bent. It's based on truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus identifies truth. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It is the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that should permeate our hearts, direct our footsteps, challenge our understanding of what we see taking place in the world today. Don't you dare believe all that you hear on the news. Don't you dare believe all that you see on the Communist Network news stations and others like that. Multitudes of people, when I say something about an issue individually in individual conversation, they say, where did you hear that? I have never heard that before. So what channel do you listen to on television? Well, I watch CNN. Well, that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. The Communist Network News is not going to present truth to you. It was the secularist a number of years ago, George Orwell, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place with the fake media today, the news source today. You have to be very, very careful and filter through what's said to find the truth. It's not always obvious if you just simply watch the Communist Network News. But it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that perhaps made the greatest statement. Now listen, when I say this, so that you'll understand, I'm not in full theological agreement with Jan Hus's position of the 15th century, but this is a powerful statement that he made in relationship to truth. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And may I challenge you to take that as your position in life, that you're going to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe the farther we go in this life, before the rapture of the church takes place, Yes, the next thing on the calendar of God is the sudden seizure, the snatching away, the lifting out of the bride of Christ, that's the believer, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and following that, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the lawless one, one that's called the beast of Revelation 13, shall step on the scene and rule with an iron fist. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that in this time that is before us today, it is the fact that we need to seek the truth and love the truth and learn the truth, listen to the truth, and defend the truth. And I believe that before the rapture of the church, we'll see the greater level of persecution and prosecution of Christians simply because we stand for and stand on truth. Now, I understand there are a lot of pastors that have no spine. They've hidden behind the door, in the closet, under the bed, still have the churches closed because they don't have the spine to stand up, speak up, and to honor the Word of God and what God's Word says that we ought to do in His command to worship together and meet together and serve the Lord in the worship setting of a local New Testament church. But we need to pray for those pastors that they'll either find a job selling used cars or get out of the pulpit, or simply open their pulpits and be the watchman on the wall that God's called us to be as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full hurricane preparedness equipment with brands like Honda generators. They have a full staff of knowledgeable people that can answer your questions about the backup equipment for hurricane season. They can answer all of your questions about the power generators and about landscape equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. Tools for Time is located, ladies and gentlemen, at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291. Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Look for the gigantic flag. Flagpole flying about 165 feet there with Old Glory flying 24/7. Find that flagpole with the flag flowing. At the base of that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, we're looking at bits and pieces under the umbrella of what I simply call the big picture. The big picture, what's happening in America today? What are some of the key elements that's taking place that should draw our attention and focus us as Christians? I'm speaking primarily to Christians. I'm speaking to those that are conservative patriots. I'm speaking to you that ought to be concerned about the condition, the direction of our nation today, as we lead up to November the 3rd. I believe we have about 46, 47 days left. And in this period of time, ladies and gentlemen, we the public will make the determination on the direction of America. Will we continue the direction that we've gone for 244 years, or will we become a socialist, Marxist, communist nation, as is desired by Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and the Squad, and the multitudes of others that are wanting to go back to what used to be called normal. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, they're wanting, they do not want Donald Trump as president. They want to go back to a relationship with China where Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden and others like John Kerry and his family have all reaped hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars as a result of dealing with China and with Russia and with the Ukraine. And I could go on and on and on. So they want to go back to what they would consider normal because President Donald J. Trump has not wanted to be normal. He wants to be, do that which protects America, protects our Constitution, and will look out for we the people and not for the purse, the pocketbook. That's the reason there's such great disdain. That's the reason there's such great animus. That's the reason there's such horrifying anger against President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been saying that the forced shutdowns of our churches across America as a result of the so-called COVID-19 is unconstitutional. Listen, if you've been listening to this broadcast for any length of time, the better part of this year, starting in about March or April, mid-March or early April, I've been talking about the fact that COVID-19, the Wuhan China virus, is being used as a, being weaponized and used as an instrument, a tool, but it is an unconstitutional thing that we've seen take place with the shutting down of our churches. Our churches have been shut down. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Our Constitution, the First Amendment in our Constitution, and I'll read that to you if you do not know what I'm talking about, says Congress shall make no law, listen, shall make no law, not some law, partial law, or executive order, but shall make no, N-O, law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the First Amendment. It doesn't give a caveat. It doesn't give a exception. It says it shall not make any law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's the key element that we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, in our First Amendment. There, it is unconstitutional because the First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, has no exception, no caveats whatsoever. The fact is that it does not allow a mayor or a governor to issue any executive order, nor does it in any way overrule our constitutional liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're saying today, part of the big picture, part of the bits and the pieces of what is taking place in America in the event you have forgotten, and I believe we've gotten to a lackadaisical, I could care less kind of a laissez attitude that says, well, the church is closed and eventually my church will open, eventually another church will open. Ladies and gentlemen, there are thousands upon thousands of churches that are closed today that multitudes, if not the most of them, will never reopen. Keep in mind, the overwhelming majority of the churches of the United States of America have 200 or less members. The overwhelming majority of the churches in America today have bivocational pastors. Some with no salary, some with meager salaries, but out of a passion of preaching and teaching the Word of God, they stand in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday proclaiming the truth of God's Word. But multitudes of those churches, because of being closed, will never reopen because the families that were there have moved on to other locales, locations, or churches, and or because they have so few that will return, and the dollars, the tithes and offerings have diminished so that they cannot afford to reopen. That is a sad fact, but according to the Barna report, that is the truth of what's happening today. But we need to understand that it's against, ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution for the closure of the churches. Here's an article that says the judge grants injunction barring John MacArthur Grace Community Church from meeting indoors. Dateline Los Angeles. Los Angeles Superior Court judge granted preliminary injunction against Grace Community Church prohibiting Pastor John MacArthur from holding indoor worship services. The County of Los Angeles has sought to stop the mega church from hosting indoor services that have filled the sanctuary with many, this article says, many unmasked congregants sitting next to each other in recent weeks. Los Angeles County Attorney recently sent a cease and desist letter to the mega church threatening arrest and a daily fine of $1,000. Further in the article, Jeannie Ellis, that is the attorney, the lawyer from MacArthur, said Grace Community Church has said the injunction is a temporary setback. Quote, we will continue to fight for Pastor MacArthur and Grace Community Church's constitutionally protected right to hold churches, the attorney said. Church is essential. No government agent has the runaway unlimited power to force churches to close indefinitely, she added. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, I agree with you that the Constitution protects religious rights and free speech rights, but these liberal judges on the Supreme Court could care less what the Constitution says, and they say the Constitution says what I say it says and legislate from the bench, and it's just terrible what's happening because the plain text of the Constitution is being ignored.
Brother, you're exactly right, and I am very, very, very aware of that. One of the things that is the, if you please, focus that we should understand, that President Donald J. Trump in a re-election would have the potential of appointing between two and perhaps as many as four new Supreme Court justices. We need justices that look at the Constitution, not as some of them talk about the Constitution being a living document, and that term living document simply means that as life changes and as the citizens change and society changes, the document changes with it. No, it is a static document, just as the Word of God, the Bible, is to be understood in its literal interpretation and not written over. And so we need judges that's going to interpret the Constitution as is written. In fact, it's odd that we talk about that because today is Constitution Day, September the 17th. As the U.S. Constitution is the highest law of the land in America, so I believe that we need to go by what the Constitution says. The Bible is the highest law of God, and the American Constitution itself was given to us by our founding fathers, and it should be viewed as that. So you're exactly right, and that goes to the very point of the subject that we're talking about today, is the re-election of President Donald J. Trump, so that we can continue in a nation that can have an understanding of our Bill of Rights and judges and legislators that will honor our Constitution and in particular our Bill of Rights. You're exactly right, and thank you so much for that insight and for your comments today on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what is taking place. Well, we have those judges that are making the law. We've got three branches in our government today. The executive branch, which is the president, the legislative branch, which is the House and the Senate, and the judiciary, which is the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court has no authority to write law or to legislate from the bench. In fact, when that takes – this is the reason I've said, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you recall me saying it a number of times, we need to have not a lifetime appointment for a U.S. Court judge in the Supreme Court. I would be willing to go along with 10-year or 20-year appointment, but not a lifetime appointment, so that those dudes in the black robe will understand that this, I cannot rule from the bench. I must interpret the Constitution as our founding fathers gave it to us. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of ignoring our Constitution, as a result of circumventing our Constitution, we have churches that are shut down today. And also, may I add a parenthetical footnote to that statement, we have places of business that have been unconstitutionally locked out, shut out, shut down, and destroyed as a result of the fiat decision of legislators. May I remind us, there is an understanding today that somehow, some way, the judges and the legislators can rule without viewing our Constitution. Here's an article that says, federal judge, there's no pandemic exception to the Constitution. Then why are Americans going along with it? That's the question, ladies and gentlemen. That's looking at the big picture. If there's no exception in our Constitution to allow what's taking place, why are we sitting in silence? Why are we hiding in a closet? Why are we simply saying, yes, sir, mayor, yes, sir, governor, we're simply going to bow at your demand? Here's the article. A law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and courts as well as other departments are bound by that instrument. That's Chief Justice John Marshall years ago. Where is it that those who are to represent the people in this country receive delegated authority to implement that which is unconstitutional? The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, Article 6, Section 2. They have reserved their roles in taking on the position as being employer rather than employee. When speaking of the U.S. Constitution, do remember that those who are to serve the people in this country are to support the Constitution, not tear it down in an attempt to recreate in their image what they want the country to be, and it's foreign to the Constitution. Yet that is, in fact, what is taking place in America today. Article 6, Section 6 of the Constitution states it. Dateline Raleigh, North Carolina. A federal judge issued a temporary restraining order preventing the enforcement of Governor Roy Cooper's executive order that restricts church worship in North Carolina. A group founded by pastors and churches sued Cooper over his executive orders alleging they violate the U.S. Constitution and the North Carolina Constitution. Further, the article states, U.S. District Court Judge James C. Dever, D-E-V-E-R, heard arguments on Friday from a group of plaintiffs who challenged Cooper's authority to restrict religious activities Saturday. the judge said that the plaintiffs are likely to succeed on the merits of their free exercise claim concerning the Assembly for Religious Worship provisions in Executive Order 138. They will suffer irreparable harm absent a temporary restraining order, that the equities tip in favor, and that a temporary restraining order in the public interest should be issued. The judge said unequivocally that, quote, there is no pandemic exception in the Constitution or of the United States or the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. And it further talks about Mayberry versus Madison, et cetera, in 1803. It goes back to substantiate the fact that there's no exception clause in the First Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful to see some people growing a spine, growing a backbone, and taking a stand and saying, we will be silent no longer. In fact, let me just tuck this in. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to have legislative action across America with every state. I've already talked with one of our state legislators, and I believe that we need to introduce a bill in Tallahassee in the spring, that the bill that should be introduced would give limits on what an executive order can do. A mayor or governor ought to have limits on the time frame. Let's say that there's a pandemic again. Let's say that there's a fright and a hair on fire, a hysteria that they've developed from the government federal level down. And there is a need, let's say, for some type intervention by an executive order. That executive order needs to have an expiration date. Not like with Governor Whitmer in Michigan, where she's issued hundreds and hundreds of executive orders and keeps on adding to it and not rescinding any of them. There must be some restraints. A governor cannot take the position of a legislator. A mayor cannot take the position of the city council legislative authority. There must be a law that I say needs to be passed in every state across America that will put it on the basis that 28 days or 30 days, and I use the figure 28 arbitrarily because there's one state that already has that a 28-day executive order is the end of it, and then it must become before the legislators to pass a law if it is extended in any fashion. I believe that would be equitable for the citizens. I believe that would be equitable for any case of an emergency where a governor or mayor could not pass an executive order that will last in any fashion that would restrain the Constitution and our Bill of Rights no more than 30 days, if that. 15 days, one person said, but I believe we need to have that introduced in the state of Florida. And if you believe that's the case, call your legislator, call your representative for your district, and insist that that type of legislation be introduced in January of this coming year in the state of Florida. I believe if Florida would start it, other states would follow. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what we have seen take place. We're talking about the bits and pieces of the big picture today of what is happening in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, federal judge strikes down COVID orders by Pennsylvania governor and health secretary as unconstitutional. Not only do we find that taking place in North Carolina, but here's where a federal judge has finally grown a backbone and decided that our Constitution will not allow what Pennsylvania governor has been enforcing. Federal judge strikes down the COVID orders by Pennsylvania governor and health secretary as being unconstitutional. The article then further says, will the people deal with them as criminals? My answer should be, and I would suggest, yes. This article says, we've reported that several judges, as well as the Department of Justice, have declared that there are no constitutional exceptions for a pandemic. Yet they have allowed the federal government to issue a state of emergency without chiding them a bit about it and engage in unconstitutional actions, including taking over privately owned businesses by the Army and purchasing billions of dollars worth of vaccines and providing ventilators. Now, another federal judge has ruled that Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf and Secretary of Health Rachel Levine, their coronavirus orders are unconstitutional. The question is, but will the people start dealing with these criminals for their violations of the Constitution, their rights, and the public trust? Question mark. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue this thought right after the top of the hour news. We'll have a 1 minute break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Very important things still come up that we're going to talk about. The big picture with the bits and the pieces.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.